Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew in the 13th chapter. In this chapter, Jesus tells a great many parables, and we pick it up in the middle of those parables. Matthew writes, "Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." He continues, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these?" he asked them. They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasures what is new and what is old." Here ends the reading. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This first statement I'm going to make was going to sound strange before, but I think it's going to sound even stranger after Connie just sang about the love of Jesus. But I'm going to say that Jesus probably loves eBay. You know, it's the online garage sale where you can go and buy or sell virtually anything that you can think of. Yes, I think Jesus loves it. Now, to be clear, Jesus, to the best of my knowledge, is not an avid collector of Star Wars memorabilia or the seller of little trinkets that are commonly found on that website. No, I think Jesus would love eBay because Jesus loves a good deal. He's all about the joy that comes from discovering something valuable, possibly even priceless, while pursuing stuff that is seemingly ordinary. It's like the joy that a person by the name of Morris Park, a British antiques dealer, found. He felt that joy after he paid $5 for an old film container that somebody brought into him. After he had bought it, he opened it up and found that there was a never-released 7-minute film inside of that canister that starred Charlie Chaplin. For his $5 that he paid for that, he later got a return of $60,000. It's like the feeling that Philip Guerra, an American literature professor at a local university in Colorado, found after he had paid $481 for a photograph of poet Emily Dickinson. The photo, as it turns out, is just the second known photo of Emily. No other photos exist, which makes his discovery literally priceless. And there's an example of how do we put a price tag on actual love. A woman by the name of Maria Ariz, a nurse in New Jersey, paid $16 on eBay for a pair of jeans. When she wrote the seller to ask what other items he had for sale, the two began corresponding for a time, and eventually they fell in love. They've been married for 7 years. Now that's a good deal, and I bet Jesus loves it. How do I know that? Well, in our reading from Matthew today, with its parables about hidden treasures and pearls of great values, it tells us that. A man stumbles across a pile of treasure buried in a field. He's so taken with his discovery, so overwhelmed at its value, that he sells off every other item in his possession to purchase the land and make the treasure his own. You might call it overkill, but Jesus says, no, that's a great deal. A merchant who makes his living selling pearls spends his days scouring the markets for the best of the best. Upon finally finding it, the man mortgages his home and sells everything he owns, all to purchase a single sparkling pearl. You might think that that's a waste, but not in the eyes of Jesus. For him, such sacrifice for such treasure is well worth the investment. This man found the valuable treasure intentionally. He went looking for it after searching for it for years. The man who found the treasure in the field stumbled on it by accident. He found the great treasure unintentionally. But when he found it, he realized its great value and was willing to give up everything that he had for it. Jesus is all about the joy that comes from discovering something priceless while pursuing the ordinary. In fact, for Jesus, the greatest of such joys is none other than us discovering and accepting the kingdom of heaven. In the parables of Matthew 13, Jesus tells us that the very reign and rule of God, the loving and life-changing activity of God in heaven, has broken into our world and is available to us now. It's here to be discovered and to be embraced. Yet, like the ever-famous Honus Wagner baseball card sitting in a shoebox at some grandmother's garage sale, the kingdom of heaven is found in unassuming places and encountered in unlikely ways. And whatever it costs us to get it is well worth it. So the big question then is, in what unlikely places do we find God's power and God's presence? There are people that think the key to discovering God is getting mystical and otherworldly. They might adopt some process of escaping the trappings of the flesh and of this world and ascending to some higher plane where God abides. Yet, that doesn't seem to mesh with Jesus' idea of the kingdom being uncovered in the ordinary. Others might argue that the key to connecting with the kingdom is being good enough to earn our admittance to heaven. You know, if we help enough people across the street or donate enough money to a charity or make enough people smile or make even fewer people cry, and when our days are done, boom, we're in the kingdom. But that seems at odds with Jesus' own description of the kingdom as a treasure being stumbled upon in a field, as if something is freely given to us. No, encountering God's and experiencing God's power and being caught up in God's love must be things that we can encounter in the ordinary and access easily. So what about here, in this place? Is this the place where we encounter the kingdom? Think about it for a moment. Jesus' ultimate point in the parable is that he was the means by which the kingdom had come to earth. It was in him that the love of God, the power of God, and a reconciled right relationship with God could all be received. Christ and his work on the cross are the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. And this is the place where that very same Jesus is to be encountered today. Do we believe that? Do we believe that when we gather here in this unassuming place, that the greatest treasure in the history of God's universe is here for us to take and be a part of? Do we believe that when God's word is read here and preached here and sung here, as we heard it this morning, that Jesus is speaking here? Do we believe that when we hear, you are forgiven of that sin, or you are a member of God's family, or when in a minute we'll be told to take this bread that is God's body, take and drink this wine that it is his blood, that the power of those promises of Christ are taking hold in us and doing something miraculous in us? To be sure, by sight and sound alone, this seems like the last field in which you would find something so special. This place is filled to the brim with imperfect people. We all are. And we preach a message of forgiveness and a message of hope to an unbelieving world that sounds like absolute insanity. The Apostle Paul even said it in his letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Here's another one to wrestle with as you think about it. What if the work of the kingdom is not only found here, but if it is also found in each of us as individuals? Have you ever thought about that? If you are a believing follower of Jesus Christ, then the scripture tells us that you are now a living, breathing field, if you will, filled with the priceless treasures of Jesus. Yes, every one of us, we all have a past that we have made mistakes in, and most of us have present problems also. You're filled with the truth of Christ that can change someone else's eternity. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, who's given you the same compassion as Christ and a desire, like Christ, to bless others in need. Yes, you're now part of that royal priesthood whose very presence has the power to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, as Peter told us in his first letter. Yes, we are a community, and each of us individually as believers are just ordinary people, but we are easily acceptable places where the greatest treasure in the world can be found and encountered. With that realization comes the incredible responsibility that we have. We, each of us, every one of us, are the field for the wandering to stumble upon and find salvation. We are the marketplace of pearls for the seeker to finally find what they're looking for. We are the online auction where a hurting world can bid on the ordinary and receive untold treasure in the form of forgiveness. Forgiveness that is unlimited and a life that is unending. Knowing these things, you have to think, what do I believe about that? Do you come to this place each week expecting to hear from God himself and encounter part of the kingdom of God? Are you inviting others to come to this place and find the treasure that is contained in this field? Are you offering others the undeserved compassion of Jesus Christ? Are you ready and willing to answer the seeking or bear witness to those that are wandering about the life-changing truth that you have found in Christ? There's a very popular TV show on cable right now. It's on the A&E network, and it's called Storage Wars. I don't have cable, so I've never seen it, but I've read about it. The show, as I understand it, follows a group of men and women who make their living bidding on the opportunity to take ownership of unopened or repossessed storage units in the hopes of finding hidden treasure within them. Yes, this is really a TV show, a popular one at that. They've discovered everything in these storage units, from coffins and artwork to the world's most valuable comic book collection. And all they did is pay as little as $10 to take it home. Now, if you've ever been a seeker or a wanderer, and I think we all have at one point in our life and may continue to be our entire lives, then what you should know is that we all have a lot in common with such modern-day treasure hunters as are seen on that show. Today, we're sitting together in this place among people that just may not seem like much at first glance. But if we'll open ourselves up, untold treasure awaits us within this community. The kind of treasure that only God Himself can offer. Yes, it comes at a cost. Taking ownership of all that God has in store for you through Jesus Christ will come at the cost of confessing your brokenness and your need for a Savior. That's all. It means saying goodbye to a life of wandering and a life of worshiping Jesus in our every action. It will mean that your days of searching are done and finding peace in the fact that you've arrived as part of God's family. Now, to some here, that may sound like mere pocket change. To others, it may sound like I'm asking the world. But what we'll one day realize is that such sacrifice for such treasure is well worth the investment. In fact, we'll learn that it's such a lopsided steal that it can only be called a gift. And it can only be described as grace. And we all know the wonders of God's grace. About 10 years ago, there was a pastor in Wisconsin from a small congregation by the name of Mike Ernst. And for some reason, this pastor stumbled across an old Corvette. I don't know many pastors that can afford Corvettes, but Mike stumbled across one. And he was a car aficionado, and he knew that he'd found something unique. And it was a 1960s worn-out Corvette. Some college student was driving it at the time, and Mike bought it from him and put it in his barn and began the slow work of restoring that car. As he was working on it, it became clear to him that this was not an ordinary old Corvette. So he began searching the internet about it, and it revealed that the old clunker that he thought he bought was in fact a world-famous 1962 Gulf Oil Corvette. And this car was famous because it had won over a dozen races at Daytona and Sebring and racetracks around the world. When he found the car, he paid $3,000 for it. He later sold it at auction for $1,485,000. A pearl of great value from an ordinary junker car. And he did use a lot of that money for ministry. Jesus loves eBay. Our Lord loves a steal of a deal. and the joy that comes from discovering something valuable, possibly priceless, all the while pursuing ordinary items. Why does he enjoy this? Why does he love it? Because he is offering the most valuable item around. He is offering us himself, free of charge. May this always be a place where the treasure of Christ is easily encountered. May the treasure of Christ be accessible for the world in every one of us. May we all find this treasure ourselves, and may we use what we've learned and what we've found to spread the word of Christ. It's not to be found in expected places. And no matter what the price tag seems to be, it's definitely, undeniably worth the cost. Amen.